President Obama fired up his supporters at the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee on Saturday. We'll talk about his visit and Ann Romney's visit to the Milwaukee area last week and the new prominence of Wisconsin in the presidential campaign. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, September 24th. Plus, in this edition of our State Capitol Report, Act 10 and the courts, a mining bill revival, and the U.S. Senate race. Why is Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin jumping ahead of former Governor Tommy Thompson? And what are the issues shaping this race? Still to come here on the State Capitol Report. Joining us first is Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Chuck Kornbach, who covered President Obama's Milwaukee visit on Saturday. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Joy.
So what happened at the rally?
Well, as you say, lots of excitement. There were far north of 10,000 people there, maybe 15 or 20,000. This is at the Summerfest grounds, and even a rainstorm that arrived in the middle of the president's speech really couldn't dampen their enthusiasm. Maybe their jackets, some, but not their enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. What was the president's message at the rally?
Well, the main news of it, as NPR reported yesterday, was a little bit back and forth with Mitt Romney on this changing Washington from the inside or outside. The president said, well, what kind of inside job is Mitt Romney talking about, suggesting that it would be a lot of approval of Republican Congress items and things from business lobbyists. Also, the president made a lot of Mitt Romney's remarks at a fundraiser earlier this year that 47% of people see themselves as victims, don't take responsibility for themselves. Now, I spoke with several people after the Obama speech, and the president's message of unity and a fair opportunity for all seemed to have gone over pretty well with those folks. For example, Sherry Anderson, she's a school service worker and was wearing her service employees union shirt. She says she thinks that Mitt Romney is trying to demean people like herself.
I have more taxes deducted out of my paycheck, and me being one of those 47%, I have more taxes deducted out of my paycheck than he does because I'm at the lower pay range. So he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think Romney supporters would argue that Mitt probably pays more in raw tax dollars than Ms. Anderson does, but Ms. Anderson is getting at the issue that she thinks she pays a higher tax rate than Romney does, and the Romney tax returns showed him at about 14% late last week.
Yeah, and you also covered Ann Romney's visit. Did the 47% remarks come up there?
Well, not quite directly. Her main sort of takeaway message was that her husband cares about everyone. She retold the story that was told at the Republican convention of Mitt helping a family friend who was dying. And I talked to a couple people after that speech, including Marquette student Grace Moon, who says the media are misrepresenting what Mitt said in that video at the fundraiser.
The things that a person does in their personal life and in their professional life are really telling about who they are. And I think that that's far more telling than what the words that someone else puts in their mouth.
Now, the other side of the coin to that is I met someone who's a business representative late last week, and he characterizes what Romney said at the fundraiser as Romney putting his own foot in his mouth.
Well, it'll help everyone out if they pay more. You know, it'll be more in our revenue, in our coffers, so shouldn't they pay a fair share? I mean, if a guy pays 30%, shouldn't they pay 30%?
Now, that, of course, that audio there was Bob Abel of Wausau. He was speaking after the president's remarks and talking about the tax hike idea. The president has suggested that he, the president, Mitt Romney, and others making more than $250,000 a year could afford a tax hike to help reduce the federal debt. That was Mr. Abel's point.
Yeah, and so Wisconsin certainly is getting a lot more attention these days, isn't it, Chuck? I mean, we were always a battleground state, but we didn't necessarily expect this much attention.
Well, I think it has ramped up. The Marquette poll of last week, though, did show President Obama ahead of Mitt Romney by 14 points, but I can tell you that over the weekend, the Republican phone call efforts to supporters continued. Also the independent group, conservative group Americans for Prosperity, dialed out to folks, and then I received a robocall at my home last night suggesting that President Obama had promised he would fix the economy within 3 years and he should be out if he didn't. And I think they were going to hear reminders from the Republicans that now the president is saying, I need more time.
Well, Chuck, thanks very much for covering this for us.
Thank you.
Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee. Also, First Lady Michelle Obama is scheduled to visit the Appleton area, but the date and location have not been released yet. The visit will mark Mrs. Obama's second trip to Wisconsin in 4 weeks. She was in the Milwaukee area last month to offer condolences to the families of the Sikh worshipers killed or injured by a gunman at their temple. So, presidential campaign trail continues through Wisconsin. Now joining us is Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter, Sean Johnson, who is covering other top issues in state politics. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
I know, Sean, you've been covering this Act 10 ruling. Actually, it's rulings. There are multiple rulings on Act 10. Tell us what the latest is.
Yeah, the latest is going to happen today. There are going to be oral arguments in a Chicago courtroom today in an Act 10 case or a collective bargaining case, but it's not the one that you've heard about recently in the news. This is not the one that was, you know, where the law was struck down fairly broadly for local government workers and teachers in a Dane County courtroom. This is a federal case, this is a case that was decided back in March of this year, and it basically ruled on a couple more narrow issues. One, it said that the provision of the law that takes union or that prohibits employers from collecting union dues from paychecks is unconstitutional. It also overturned a part of the law that made unions take these annual recertification votes just to stay alive, basically, where they had to get 50%, not of all members present voting, but they had to get 50% of all their union membership voting just to remain certified, and they had to take those votes every year. So the court ruled on those two issues, and that's what lawyers are going to be arguing at the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago today as to whether that thing goes forward. You know, as far as the decision we heard about, you know, less than 2 weeks ago now, that's already having repercussions here in the state locally. There was talk almost immediately after ruling from the Madison Teachers Union that, you know, we would like to get back to the bargaining table. And they sent a letter to the Madison School Board saying that they'd like to do so. Then last week, the Dane County Board on Wednesday returned to the bargaining table with AFSCME, union, one of the largest unions that does work for Dane County. And by Thursday night, the Dane County Board of Supervisors was taking a vote on new union contracts or contract extensions that were made possible by this court ruling that's put Act 10 in limbo.
Let's take a break, and then we'll continue talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about some of the top news in state politics, including Act 10 and the courts and mining. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also talk about a poll showing Democrats surging in Wisconsin. Coming up after 7:30, we will welcome in political scientist Charles Franklin, who will have more on his latest poll on the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin, showing Tammy Baldwin surging ahead of Tommy Thompson. We'll talk about why that might be and the issues in the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin. By the way, coming up on Friday night, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, we will have live coverage of the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association U.S. Senate debate between Democratic Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin and Republican former Governor Tommy Thompson. This is an hour-long special broadcast starting Friday night at 8 here on the Ideas Network. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be sunny, breezy, and warm. High temperatures ranging from the mid-60s in the north to the mid-70s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report, talking now with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Sean, Governor Walker reacted to the latest court ruling on Act 10, where Dane County Judge Juan Colas struck down parts of the law, saying it's unconstitutional. He reacted to that court ruling by saying, well, just another Dane County liberal judge is speaking out on this. Is he taking that back?
No. I mean, he had he was asked about it last week. You stand by those comments? Because, I mean, sometimes those comments, you presume maybe they were written by someone other than the governor. But he said, no, I stand by that. And attorneys for the unions have suggested that shows a sign of disrespect for the judiciary. The governor disagreed with that idea.
If we had disrespect, we'd question the whole process. The appeals process ultimately will go through. Our belief is in the end it will ultimately be upheld. And that's why you have a court of appeals and ultimately a Supreme Court for decisions such as this.
Now, the governor also started some sort of a petition drive saying stand by me and not this ruling. What's that all about?
Yeah, this is something that I think it's coming out from his campaign saying sign this petition and show your support for this ruling. And, you know, it's using similar terminology in terms of referring to the activist court that overturned, you know, Act 10, which is his signature achievement.
And Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen is filing the appeal and filed a request for a stay or mm-hmm. to put this ruling on hold. Do we know if that's going to happen?
We don't. We know that briefs from both sides are due on that this week. I think the unions have to file by Wednesday, and then there's a reply brief due by Friday. And then we know that Judge Colas is going to issue a written decision, and he hasn't given a timeline for that. The Attorney General has acknowledged that it is rare for a judge who makes a ruling to stay his own decision, because obviously the judge thinks he got it right. So if Judge Colas does not stay the decision, and by the way, a stay just means, you know, I put my decision on hold, we go back to the world under Act 10 while this appeal moves forward. So if he doesn't do that, then the Attorney General will ask the Court of Appeals to do the same thing. And then at some point, you know, not knowing exactly how it would work procedurally, obviously the buck stops at the state Supreme Court for this particular lawsuit. And so we'd see, you know, what happens there. But first up is Judge Colas.
Right. And this stay in part, the request is to keep everything the way it is mm-hmm. under Act 10. So you wouldn't have negotiations going on, reopening of these contracts during this period?
Well, it's my understanding, and maybe the courts would find it differently. But this window that we're in right now, it keeps it open for, a Dane County and their unions, should they choose, or, you know, other counties, but Dane County's the one that's acted so far to reopen negotiations. And, you know, we touched on this before the break briefly, but last week the Dane County Board met, did just that, approved new union contracts. You had a public comment beforehand, and largely some Tea Party groups showed up there to testify against contracts, urge against their passage. Todd Osborne was one of those, and he said that they weren't acting in the interest of their constituents.
Rushing into new contracts with public employee unions while Act 10 is in limbo is to disregard the interest of your constituents.
But the supervisors and the backers of the contracts who, you know, the supported them or voted for them, said you got to remember who we're representing here. This is Dane County. There was an advisory referendum, in fact, this year, that asked voters, you think that collective bargaining should be a right for all workers? And in Dane County, that got a 68% yes. So it's very popular here. And Jeff Pirtle, who was recently elected, he's a county board member, reminded people of that, said that's what his constituents want.
I don't know about the rest of Wisconsin. I don't represent Brilliant or Platteville or Waukesha. I represent five neighborhoods on the east side of Madison. And those folks sent me here today to proudly vote yes.
So as far as the contract itself that they voted on in Dane County, it doesn't call for raises. It actually spells out how they would get a salary cut. You know, if you're looking for what the unions get out of it, they remain a union through 2015. They also, it spells out a way they could take more unpaid time off as a cost savings should the county need to do it.
So, and again, there is a hearing today on a federal lawsuit against Act 10.
Right, and this is the federal case that was decided back in March, more narrow. And, you know, we won't get into it too much today, but there is another federal case on challenging Act 10 where both sides are awaiting decision on motion to dismiss. So it's and that one's being challenged on similar grounds to the one that was tossed out in a state court, I believe.
Wow. So this is going to go on for a while.
Yeah. And I mean, there, you know, there, I think some people who just kind of followed this at a distance, have said, well, what's going on here? I thought the court upheld this last year, but you know, that decision that we were all watching in the state Supreme Court in 2011 was just on the process of how this law was passed. And just now, you know, because of the way that the courts move, now we're getting into the merits in federal and state court.
Well, we'll stay tuned on that. Also last week, I know there were hearings held on mining legislation that would affect this possible mine in northern Wisconsin. So that that legislation is being revived.
Yeah, you know, yes and no. This is, it's basically like a study committee that's meeting right now. And it's what's new is that it's chaired by Democratic State Senator Tim Cullen. And Democrats were basically, you know, shut out of the process last session when Republicans were writing a mining bill. And so what this committee is doing is bringing in a list of experts that it has invited and saying, tell us what you know about your area of expertise, you know, whether it be somebody from the DNR or what have you. There's not a bill on the table that they are talking about. And so you had a Tom Evans testify, and he's one of the, I guess it sounds cliche, but I'll use it anyway. He literally wrote the book on mining because he wrote a book about mining regulation in Wisconsin. He's from the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. And I mean, he went back through the philosophy behind mining, how much mined minerals we use, the history of it in Wisconsin. And the last time that the mining laws were rewritten, and he said that you had everybody at the table there. You did have mining companies at the table helping to write their bill, but you also had environmental groups, you had local governments, you had university experts. And he said, you know, generally that's what's going to get you a better product.
These things are complex enough that it requires cooperation. You can't do this adversarially very easily. You can do it adversarially. I know you can, but I mean, I'm just saying that it works a lot better if you're trying to reach the same goal.
So as far as what are they talking about in terms of the substance of a mining bill, it's all about timelines is where the discussion has been centered. And sort of the hallmark of the Republican bill that was pushed last session was that they were going to have a 360-day timeline for approving a mining permit as opposed to years. And at this week's hearings, past week's hearings, you heard from Rebecca Grazer from the Army Corps of Engineers, a federal agency. It has to sign off on any mining project as well. And she said that if you have a timeline that is, you know, much faster than ours, it could actually be detrimental because you're going to have to do twice the paperwork.
I guess that would probably, I don't know if it would double their costs, but I would expect it would increase their costs significantly. Also, in my personal opinion, I would think that two different studies that are supposed to describe the same environmental consequences might come up with different conclusions, which would certainly leave open to court objection.
And that that series of meetings actually continues tomorrow at the Capitol. They're going to invite some environmental groups to testify and also the state's mining association.
Some news regarding job numbers in Wisconsin?
Yeah, it was sort of a good bad news report. I mean, good in that there were 7,800 jobs added in the month of August, according to the monthly employer survey of that comes out every month. Bad news is the state's unemployment rate ticked up from 7.3% to 7.5%, and that comes from another survey of households, a smaller survey. And so you have sort of this conflicting information coming out there. And in terms of what jobs were added in that monthly employer survey, a lot of service industry jobs, a lot of leisure and hospitality jobs, big job losses in the manufacturing industry, which is generally where people, you know, especially policymakers, want to have more jobs in Wisconsin. So, you know, it's not, you can't look at the August numbers and say that's a great month.
And also the director of the Economic Development Corporation in Wisconsin has stepped down?
He did. And that's this is a new agency in Wisconsin. And this was his first director. And so he's leaving for a job at the private sector now. And, you know, it's an agency that's sort of had its troubles getting its feet off the ground at times, just with the way that it, you know, was charged to have improperly awarded a contract or a package of economic development incentives. Get that right there. So, to be determined who's going to lead that next.
We have less than a minute, Sean. We're going to be talking about polls and the U.S. Senate race coming up after 7:30. Polls are showing Democrats surging right now.
It really doesn't matter what poll you look at this point, whether it be, you know, from the Democratic firm PPP or, you know, the Republican-leaning firm Rasmussen. Everything that's been out lately has been good numbers for President Obama and Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin.
Well, we'll talk more about that after the news. Sean, thanks very much.
All right. Thanks, Julie.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter. Stay with us. Our state capitol report will continue. We will welcome in political scientist and pollster Charles Franklin to talk about the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin coming up after we check the latest news.